Hello and welcome to episode 187 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is March 9th, 2020. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me, as always, is Slappy Jones 2. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/187, where if we post links to things we talk about, you'll find it there, and you can also check out joining us in our Telegram group. We can have a nice fun little chats about whatever we want to. And also check out libertymugs.com, where you can buy libertarian and Bitcoin-themed mugs and shirts and some other paraphernalia. So, Slappy, do you want to introduce our topic where we talk about honoring and showing up for your commitments?
Yeah. should I? Do we not have the guests?
Oh.
I was going to introduce our guests.
Oops.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll audible.
Yeah.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
Maybe tractors. That's the best mode of transportation out there. Reliable.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Is that confirmed?
Much better. Yeah. Well, it's more reliable than other forms of transportation.
I guess you got a point.
Yep. You can't argue that.
No, checkmate.
We can talk about camping.
We could talk about camping. Is there a place you like to camp? Do you camp outside or?
Maybe.
Isn't that Childerberg outside? Texas.
Yeah. Texas. Camp outside. Maybe hit the slopes of Colorado.
Cool. But I guess if you had a car, you could just kind of camp in your car.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about just like somehow not showing up though. Or, you know, making
a promise
about it.
If, like, your car's not
it.
As reliable as a tractor?
Right.
So, my
tractor's never, like, agreed to something and then bailed when it was time to do it.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's a good tractor.
It's a great tractor. I mean, that's why I'm bullish on tractors.
All right. Why don't instead... How about we just kind of talk about libertarians don't really like taxes for some reason. Is it better or should we, as you're a Bitcoin guy, I imagine you're not all thrilled on paying taxes.
No, not really.
Should we try to look for ways to be productive outside of the system? Is it okay to work within the system? Like, what's better? What should we do? Should we criticize you for having a job working for the man and paying taxes?
I would argue
that we should criticize you, but not necessarily anyone else.
That's fair. I mean, I don't really think there's anything that I've ever been able to be criticized for, so I'll humor you with that. Maybe we just pull up the tweet.
This was a back and forth on Twitter.
I don't want to go through the back and forth, but just like the kind of parse through this tweet because it's, I think people got it. I think other people may not quite understand what I was getting at. But it kind of goes back to a little while ago when we had that episode about me flipping out about why growing your own food isn't necessarily like a badge of honor. Like, you know how
I remember that
it was like people were saying, and I actually had, this was years ago, but I had someone tell me that like, you're not a good libertarian if you're not growing your own food. And it's like, oh, okay. Division of labor much. But it's like, my point there was that, because I have a garden, I love gardening, I love talking about it. And
we all know you love talking about your damn garden.
But maybe me producing, you know, the food there lowers my tax bill or whatever, but like
marginally.
Yeah, and maybe that little marginal thing, I guess, is good in that it helps in that direction. Not really much. It's not gonna make or break anything.
I mean, but, in your garden, and I've been to your house, I've seen your garden. Nice size. It's not tiny. How much? And yeah, I don't do gardening, so I'm a worse libertarian than you. But how long? I mean, could you live off it?
I have enough land.
You get
that I could
a lot of
off.
Stuff from yeah, what you have now.
It's a it's a hobby.
Sure.
And the other thing is that it's probably still a net negative because
for the amount of work and
the amount
time
of,
and
huge amount of labor and a huge amount of money. Not a huge amount of money, but not a small amount
and
of money.
How often
to build
do you
everything.
Feed the local deer?
Well, that's where a big part of the expense has come and is still being worked on because the deer love to come and the groundhogs and the rabbits love to go in and help themselves. So I'm building a nice fence around it, which is also difficult, especially when it's one person putting a fence up. But yeah, it's the whole point of that is like, if you want to grow a garden, that's great, but don't make people feel bad who don't and act like they're somehow lesser than you because they choose to go to the supermarket and buy food, even though that, you know, there's no sales tax on food at the supermarket. But it, you know, there's enough. We all know that the government
the
is
the companies
very,
who produce it and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and
know,
the governments have their greasy fingers involved in, you know, all aspects
it's
of
it. It's partaking in the system, for sure. I mean, you know,
right.
In some level.
But, like, it's you're not really accomplishing much. And in terms of, like, undoing state power by growing your own food, and if everyone did it, then that means we'd go back to being subsistence farmers, which means that we wouldn't be able to do much else outside of
other
like,
than farm.
Trying. Yeah. So I don't know how well we'd go about. I mean, yeah, maybe that would collapse the state because it wouldn't have any. It couldn't like fund anything because there wasn't much to tax and we'd be so poor that there wouldn't be much to get their main source of income through the seniorage of inflating the money supply. So yeah, maybe we'd collapse the state that way, but how great would the world be if we're just subsistence farmers? Like life would be pretty terrible.
But we didn't pay tax, so
yeah, but hey, we're not paying taxes, so that's great. And then even if we did, you know, we collapse the state that way and then we start, you know, going back to the division of labor and becoming productive, then I don't think that changes anything about society that wouldn't make them decide to, oh, we've got some excess wealth again, we can start taxing this for everything. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change any of the technology around making you a slave or to getting out of being a slave. All it is just being like being primitive. So unless you're like an and prim or whatever those people are, I don't understand how you would see that as a good solution. And I don't think really anyone would is that willing to go backwards in time by a few hundred years to achieve statelessness. And we can, I mean, it's kind of odd saying that. It's like, oh, you're willing to, you know, live your life now with the government bombing other people. It's like, oh, that's real nice for you to have that position that you're enjoying this stuff and you're not willing to give it up, even though that it means that people are going to die. It's like, yeah, I mean, maybe, but at the same time, we're kind of talking theoretically and, all you're going to do, you're not going to even chip the paint on the state.
I was going
to
say,
by reverting back to primitivism.
If like doing that would collapse the state, maybe we
yeah,
should
maybe
really think hard about it.
Yeah, that's different. You know, your own comfort, just because you're comfortable and like your quality of life a certain way doesn't mean that you're justified in keeping it if it's, you know, maintained by
killing people. Yeah.
Right. Right. But let's be practical here. Let's not ruin our own lives and then not
accomplish anything.
Right.
Other than being able to tell everyone you don't.
Yeah. You can have a sense of superiority to everyone, which a lot of libertarians like to have, I guess, but
a lot of people like to have.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's very true. This is actually more, I mean, a lot of the stuff we rip on our fellow libertarians for a lot of it's in good fun, but a lot of it's just people problems. But since we're libertarians and we're dealing with other people, it's kind of, we just, you know, there's nothing really special about us in that way. We all have our human flaws and
speak for yourself.
It's true. I mean, I could be wrong and it would be the first time. But yeah, so I made this tweet today, kind of provocative on purpose, seeing what people would say. But I said, want to fight the state? Be a productive, valuable member of society. And a lot of reaction, I don't know. I want to say a lot of reaction.
Some reaction. More than.
More responses on the tweet. Wasn't like this got a huge engagement. But I think it's kind of indicative or a microcosm of general thoughts, schools of thought around this kind of thing. And people are like, well, yeah, that's true if you're doing it off the books or under the table. You know, there's this idea that if you are above the table, kind of working in the normal world with, you know, what the W-2 form or W-4 form, whatever,
1099,
your taxes, and it's like, oh, you're not really being a good libertarian or anarchist because you're feeding the state. What do you think about that?
I mean, maybe like I don't mind if someone has that opinion. I think if you want to live outside, like, good for you.
Yeah, we'll clear that up right now. Like, if you decide to do that, I mean, I'm not your father. I'm not you. If you want to go and
I can say, I'll even go this far and I'll say, I admire that someone who's so strong in their convictions mm-hmm. that they're likely, I mean, if you're not paying taxes, it means you don't own property. Unless there's somewhere without property tax that I'm not aware of, and you're not.
All you have to do is tell the state, show me the law that says I have to pay taxes, and you don't have to pay taxes. It's that simple.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I totally respect someone who does live completely outside of the taxable world. If you're able to do that. I'm sure it's not easy. There's not, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort. I'd imagine you're going to limit who you can buy from and what you can buy and where you can buy it and where you live and where you go. And you're going to give up a lot of things that other people have. I mean, do you not register your car? Do you have a car? You take public transportation. I don't know. You're living on a farm. I don't know. I mean, I heard it described as like your government footprint, and we should try to lower your government footprint as much as you can, which I like that idea, and I like things outside the system. But to say you can't be productive for society or good for society if you're in the system, I think is insane.
Yes. And I think just like the going back to the garden example, for people to say like, oh, you should have your garden, like I think it's bad and wrong to make people feel bad about not doing that. If you want to do that, you know, you want to go off the grid and kind of take on some hardships, more power to you. I agree with what you said about that. But like the idea that you would look down on someone or make people feel bad about living in, you know, above the board, you know, paying taxes and everything, I don't think is very helpful, not only to the individual, but also to society as a whole and what we're actually trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a talented person and you have skills that really you can only kind of maximize your output and maximize your production by doing things above the table, like if you're, you know, some sort of like professional or have some sort of skill that, you know, the black markets just aren't really that adequately there to serve very well, then taking on work that doesn't use those talents and doesn't allow you to produce as much. Not only are you just like harming yourself and lowering your own standard of living, but it's not helping society either. Like, for example, I'll just use myself as an example. But I'm an engineer, and I work at a chemical plant. And yep.
You drive the trains around the chemical plant?
Yep. That's exactly what I do. Okay. And that's like the bet. Me being an engineer is me, I would think, or it's what I believe is maximizing my productive output. Is it better or worse for the world if I say, yeah, you know what? I don't want to pay the state any of this tax money. And so I'm going to, I can, there's a bar nearby me. I can be a bar back and get paid under the table and not pay taxes. One, like, I am
coworkers might appreciate that.
Yeah, they I suggested that the other day. I was like, maybe I could be a barback. So, yeah, absolutely. Go do that.
You should do it. Yeah. Do it.
Do it. We'll actually find you another bar to do that. So you can yeah. You know, even work weekends.
On the days you can't get work, yeah, you'll find it there.
But, like, I'm not – like, man, I am taking a drastic pay cut in order to do that. So that's kind of asking a lot for me to do. And then also, like, what am I – like, that's not – I don't want to say it's – I'm trying to be careful with what I say because I don't want people flipping out over getting not understanding my point here. But, like, if you have certain talents, your society is better off. People around you are better off if you work to, you know, use them to their best abilities. Where if you don't use your talents, you're just kind of like almost wasting them. You know, just because you're paying taxes doesn't mean that the state is necessarily winning. We kind of talk about it a lot before, and we talk about how, you know, one of the reasons that we really believe that Bitcoin is a great way to fight the state is because it helps protect the value that you create through your economic output. The state can't steal your production as well if they can't inflate Bitcoin. And if you're using Bitcoin to protect your wealth, then they don't have as good access to it because they can't print money off of Bitcoins like they do off of the dollars. So there's a stink bug walking across the room here. I keep staring at him. I lost my train of thought. See, he's not quite perfect after all.
So you were talking about, you know, working.
So
Bitcoin.
So, you know, we say that the state or the market always outstrips the state. The state just steals. The state doesn't produce anything. The state just steals output from people. But they're always kind of lagging behind the market. Like, the market comes up with stuff, and the state's always trying to play catch-up with it. They're usually, you know, not ahead with regulation. It's some, like, new thing comes out, and they're kind of trailing behind, chasing after it, trying to regulate it and keep it within their rules and able to be controlled. So we always give the example of, like, Uber. The government had the monopoly with the taxi medallions, and it was all well and good until this new technology came out, and it just obsoleted the taxi system just about. Taxis still exist because, you know, Uber and Lyft weren't perfect ways of defeating that. But, man, they took out a huge chunk, and now you're not – now you don't have to use taxis anymore. You've got some options out there. And yes, the government has done some regulation, and they've kind of curtailed the freedom of Uber and Lyft a little bit. But, you know, it was really a game changer. It was a paradigm shift, and we want more of that.
More stuff like that,
right?
Yeah.
And we don't do that by doing work that doesn't maximize our output by just like, because man, if you go under the tip, maybe I'm not saying there's no jobs that you can't, you know, live.
We're doing side work or whatever.
Right. I'm not saying there's no way that you can't, you know, produce a lot of wealth for yourself and do pretty well. But I'm just saying for the most part.
You're also playing. you're playing a dangerous game. Like, do you remember that it was a couple months ago down in Florida, they set up that sting where they put out on Craigslist or something looking for someone to fix their house, and they got all these guys who were doing side jobs. Some of them weren't licensed, and they went to jail, and you got to pay a fine. And I mean, if that's something you're willing to do, but that's a risk.
Right. Right. But on top of that too, like, you're doing that and maybe you're not maximizing how much you can produce. Well, where do you think stuff like Uber and Lyft comes from and those technologies? It's from the excess production that people are able to save and invest in things, invest in good ideas. And even though that the Federal Reserve and central banks, their control and manipulation of the dollars is atrocious and really bad, but still you are able to save for stuff despite that. I mean, the market economy or the free market is so strong and powerful that yes, it can still produce and still create value despite having like the most powerful governments in the history of the world trying to control it. Yes, they mess a lot of stuff up. The incentive structures are all messed up, but we're still able to produce good, valuable technologies despite all of that, that still have the effect of fighting against the state. And Bitcoin being really the culmination of all of this kind of thing. If all these people were like Satoshi Nakamoto and all of his predecessors who developed stuff like Hashcash and Bcash, and the other Bitcoin predecessors didn't have spare time, because in order for them to make enough money to live their lives reasonably comfortable given the time that they lived in, if they had to spend all of their time just working and just making enough money to survive, because they didn't, and I don't know what these guys did, a lot of the cypherpunks did their own kind of thing, but even just the people leading up to that, the people that provided all of the production that led to the point where we do have a lot of leisure time. If that didn't happen, man, we wouldn't have Bitcoin yet, because people wouldn't be able to set aside that spare time or set aside those excess resources and able to do something, to work on stuff, to experiment on stuff, to test things out, to do stuff that they weren't going to get a return on their investment for quite a while, or if ever. Satoshi Nakamoto has never moved his Bitcoin that we know of. There might have been other Bitcoins that he has that he's moved around, but for all we know, he's never actually taken like any sort of value from what he originally put in. If we didn't have people working above board or above the table, and to really maximize that output, to make as much money as they can and produce all that stuff, like, this stuff doesn't happen in vacuums. It's not individuals doing stuff. It's the collection or the aggregate of everyone kind of working together that society and the people in it are able to have excess wealth in order to produce like all the stuff that we have, the technology that we have. So that's why I think it's you got to be careful when you have this mentality to like, oh no, don't do that. Don't work above the table because you're paying taxes. Well, you might be careful, because you might be cutting your nose off despite your own face. And I don't know that that's helpful for yourself or for like society as a whole and the people that you're trying to help. Now, all that said, obviously, do what you can to minimize your tax burden.
Like, yes,
absolutely. I'm not saying that like, oh, taxes are good and you should be happy to pay them. No, like, that is like I said, all of this stuff is happening despite the power and control and the theft that the government's doing. It's not, this is not me complimenting the government apparatus. It's saying that the market is so powerful that the most powerful, worst governments in the history of the world are not able to completely stifle it. I kind of got a little bit rambly there, but I hope it kind of
followed. Yeah, I mean, We talked about Jack before. I'll bring that up because we talked about that before the show. And I don't know. I mean, I don't Jack know much being, about Jack from Twitter.
Yeah.
Jack, what's his name? What's his last name?
Man, I'm blanking on it.
Is it Dempsey? No.
Begins with a D.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever his name is. And I don't know anything about him, so this could be totally wrong. But let's just say he was a libertarian or had these ideas of having free speech. And Dorsey. So he created this thing.
Sorry, was gonna,
Dorsey.
Yeah,
Dorsey.
It was going to bother me if I didn't.
Yeah, Jack Dorsey. So let's – I literally know nothing about him, and it would probably take a quick Google search to find out, like, what his politics are or whatever. But he created this, and he's getting big, and he's making money. And now, of course, the state's going to come in, and they're going to want their piece. And would it be better for him to have never created it and been a barback?
Right.
Or to create Twitter that connects us all. I mean, our whole like podcast network here is connected through Twitter originally anyway. We met a lot of great people. We learn a lot of stuff. And it's not perfect. Yeah, they're kicking people off. No one likes it. But would it have been better to never have had it because he decided to be a barback?
Yeah, or he decided to say, hey, I'm not playing the government's game. And so I'm shutting it down.
And you shut it down, and then someone else buys it who does play the government's game.
Yeah, I mean, we see this happening a lot with Bitcoin because there's a lot of services that they're trying to, you know, not deal with government or kind of skirt around government regulations and laws and everything. And I admire them for it, but there's always comes a time where the government catches up to them, and. excuse me. They're not able to find ways to kind of skirt around it, and they're given the choice. It's like, well, I can shut it down because it violates, you know, the ethos that I set out with, or I can, you know, still try to bring value to people and hope that what I'm doing overall has better effects on it than whatever this is going to help the state with. And you kind of play the game and.
Get the information. I mean, I never would have learned 95% of the stuff about anarchy I did. I mean, I may never even explored it without the internet.
Right.
There's a bunch of people playing above board.
Yeah.
But you're able to put those ideas out through it.
And so it's like, it's up to, it's really the individual who's ever the owner of it has to make that decision for himself. But, you know, there's arguments to be made for either side. And, you know, I think as long as you know, it really stinks, especially when like a Bitcoin company has to change the way they do things because now the state has their eye on them, and you know those guys don't want to go to prison, they don't want their users to go to prison, and so it's not an easy choice for them. But I understand it. But the only, you know, the difference between some and others is that, you know, how honest they are about what they're doing. You know, if you're dishonest about it or try to do like a, you know, bait and switch or don't, you know, then,
yeah.
then, you know, that's a lot different. And I think you deserve criticism and critique and probably whatever's coming from you as far as wrath of the consumer goes. But I think there's other companies out there that they, you know, work within, you know, polite society of the state, and, you know, they kind of keep even the people that are, you know, the anti-state ones that are working to try to overturn it pretty happy, because they're honest about what they're trying to do. I mean, I think a guy like Jack Mallers that we talked about with, what's it called? The Lightning Network thing where...
right.
What's
with
it called?
With the linking up the debit cards?
Yeah. I'm blanking on a lot of stuff tonight, but I forget what it's called. But yeah, it's a way that you can pay Lightning invoices through your bank account instantly, and you know all that stuff is done quote legally unquote. And he had a decision to make. He could have said, you know what, screw it, I'm not doing anything with the state, but that would have meant he had to shut down, and that means we lose out on what he was doing. Maybe someone comes up with something later on that's able to skirt around it. Maybe not, but you know what, he's providing a pretty good, valuable service to everyone, and I think he's doing a really good job of being honest about what he's doing, and doing it in a way that insulates people as much as possible from the state. So there are ways to do it, and there's people that have criticized how he's doing it, and that's fine. You know, you're not going to please everyone, but, you know, these decisions aren't, like, super easy, and we can sit there when we aren't the ones that, you know, whose businesses or ideas these are, and sit there and say, well, he shouldn't play ball with the state at all because then he's not a good libertarian. But, like, all right, why don't you build something?
Yeah.
And either have to pay some taxes or get some information from users, or, you know, if not, okay, well, you can shut your thing down or go to prison. You know, very easy to be the armchair quarterback there. A little bit less easy when you actually have the skin in the game and you're doing it. Especially
when these ideas are bringing people in or making people more open to life outside of the Federal Reserve. You know, like, if you got to play by the rules, but it brings more people in who are going to be, you know, moving out of dollars, why is that a bad thing?
Yeah, and especially something like the Jack Mallers stuff. I mean, yeah, he's letting the state win a small battle because he's pretty sure that he's going to win the war.
Right.
And so I think it's a pretty good strategic move on his part. And so I think it's the same kind of thing with anything else, like with your own, you know, choosing whether to work above or below table. You know, yes, by working above table, they're able to tax you. You're making more money, so they're going to be able to get more taxes. The other thing, too, is that, like, yes, income tax is not good, but it's more damaging to you to pay the income tax than it is beneficial to the state. Like, the state, let's not kid ourselves. If you think that the state is getting most of its power because they're able to get your income tax off you, if you think that's where they're getting your funds, you need to, like, really look at this stuff again. Because mm-hmm. really, income tax is really just a punitive thing. It's punishment. It's punishment for being productive. It's not what is giving the state the majority of its power or its funding. Majority of its power comes from the state being able to inflate the money supply and being kind of the first users of that money and taking advantage of that purchasing power before the new supply is felt by the rest of the economy. That's where the state gets its power, the majority of its power. So even if you're going below the table, that production that you're creating there is still subject to that same inflation, same really horrible monetary policy. So, and you're still being harmed because of that, and probably harmed even more because you're making less money. So you're able to save less, able to purchase less with it. So you're really probably not helping yourself, other than you might feel a little bit better, which maybe that's what's most important to you. Maybe you don't care about money. Maybe you're fine with, you know, living.
Like I said, I'll respect someone who has these convictions and wants to live by them. Like, as long as you're not hurting other people,
absolutely.
You know, good for you. But I think if you're not, you know, and you can do the most you can, like, say you're a programmer and you're doing things on the side and making a couple, but maybe you're making a lot of money. I don't know. Like, good. That's great. But that's not easy to do. And I don't know how much damage you're doing to the state. Like you said, they don't get their power from that income. If you're making 100 grand and you're paying, you know, whatever in tax and income tax, the state's not going to miss your 30 grand. It's not going to collapse them. They're not even going to feel it. They're not going to affect it. They're not going to be looking for it. It's not going to change the state, and it's not good for you for not participating, and your hands are clean in some respects for a lot of the stuff the state does, but you're not ending the state. That's for sure.
Yeah, and again, I completely agree with what you said there. I'm not trying to say don't do something. I'm just bringing up counterpoints.
Oh, I know. I'm just making clear.
I'm not addressing you with that.
Okay.
I'm not saying don't do that if that's what you want to do. I'm just trying to bring up some counterpoints to say, well, maybe give you some other information and be like, okay, well, maybe this isn't the best for me or for the rest of society. I'm not helping the way I thought I was. And the other thing too is there's, you know, maybe a lot of the audience listening to this, like, we're kind of preaching to the choir where they, you know, they have enough information that they've made the decision and they're comfortable and happy with it. And that's fine. But we all know that there's a lot of people, a lot of new people coming in, and because it is become libertarianism is becoming more popular. There's more people being introduced to it. And I know that especially when you're new and especially young, because it tends to be a lot of young people are attracted to it, very impressionable. And so I just caution people when you're talking about this stuff that you don't steer someone young and impressionable to make a bad decision about this stuff because they're worried about, you know, being a good libertarian or not. That they might feel like, oh, well, if I'm, you know, paying taxes and working a, you know, a 9-to-5 job, that, ooh, this is like actually, I'm being an evil person. I'm being a bad guy. I don't think you really want to put that into people's heads, especially when they're young and impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to think about, something to be careful about. And not that I want like people to self-censor either. It's kind of this awkward fine line to cross because we're kind of talking about this before we recorded the meme Bitcoin Fixes This, where it's like the people that are kind of understand it a little bit, it's a good way to, you know, see a problem that comes up and trigger people into thinking ways that like a hard money system could fix some of the problems we see today. But for someone who's not into Bitcoin and doesn't understand money economics, then it's stupid. Like, what a stupid thing to say. Oh, Bitcoin fixes this problem. Oh, we're
gonna roll our eyes at Bitcoin fixes this.
Like, how does Bitcoin fix a war? That's stupid. So it's like, how do you? How do you message
your audience?
It's a difficult.
Know your audience, but it's like taking this as somehow your. Well, I don't know. I don't know where I want to go. We'll just, it's if someone is being productive and producing things, even if they're paying taxes, that's not, I guess it's not, in my opinion, they're not morally less than someone who's outside the system but not producing much.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense, or am I kind of saying that in the wrong way? Because, like, I say good on you for not paying taxes. I think it's wonderful, but we benefit from so many things that are above board that make our life easier, give us time to think about these things, give us time to do this podcast, you know, because I don't have to look for my next meal. Not that I'm wealthy, but I have food for tomorrow. I'm not scrounging around because I had to find my own work, and I'm not saying that everyone who does that, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a job that does pay taxes, and of course I don't like paying the taxes, and of course I minimize my tax as much as possible. But we're able to have more things that we're able to talk about these things, and
your production benefits you and society in ways that you can't even comprehend, because the economy is such a complex beast. And it works, like, there's so many moving parts around it. Like, there's no way to ever comprehend how much of an effect that your production has, because it all kind of, it's like involved in all these like feedback loops and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So real, like, if you're disagreeing with us, I would challenge you to think how performing labor or work that is very unskilled, because I'm not saying that we keep bringing up examples of unskilled labor being what you do in the black market.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, plenty of work, very productive work you can do below the table. But I'm saying
that's
generally
why I wanted to bring up that thing in Florida, because those guys have skills. Mm-hmm. They're doing plumbing, they're doing carpentry, they're doing whatever, and they're doing it on the table, and they got burned.
Yeah, but generally speaking, you would be more productive above the table than below the table, for most people.
General purposes, sure.
And if it's the opposite's true, then this is all a moot point, because do whatever you're like getting the most money. If you can make more money by being below the table, then
go for it.
Yeah. Then this, if we're not having this conversation at all. But I challenge you that if you're disagreeing, like what do you think benefits society more, by you doing a job that basically anyone can do because it's low skilled, or you doing a job that like you have a specialized skill and that you're an expert in,
and someone's willing to pay you a lot of money, but they want to do it above board?
Right. Like what's a better outcome for society? You doing the production that, you know, kind of anyone can do, or you doing the one that there's not many out there that can do it? Or just given the higher wage shows that there's some scarcity there. Yeah. More scarcity than the lower skilled labor. So really, the message is don't feel shame if you have to pay the tax man because you don't want to go to prison. Really, you're just protecting yourself from the evil hand of the government. You're kind of playing the waiting game. You're paying them taxes just to kind of keep them at arm's length so you can continue to be productive to help advance the other goals we have. Because, if we didn't believe that the market would outstrip the state, then, you know, who cares? That would be another reason why this would all be moot.
Right.
It wouldn't matter. We would have to find other ways. Or it just, if the government was more productive than what the market could output, then we're screwed. And why even try? But fortunately, that's not the case. So, do you have anything else?
Right. I think that kind of covered the point we wanted to make.
Yeah. Don't feel shame for going above board.
Yeah. And you know what? It's okay to be proud of yourself for being outside, but
yeah, whatever, just own it.
Yeah.
Do it.
And live by example. And if it's an attractive life, more people will do it. But if it's, you know, not as attractive, people probably won't. And if we can come up with solutions above board that help us get away, then yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, my so just to kind of bring some clarity or whatever to it, my tweet was, I said, be a productive, valuable member of society. I only commented about being above the table or below the table when people said, you should, that means being under the table. And it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Right. To wrap everything up.
Yeah. So, Let us know what you think. Do you agree, disagree?
Yeah, if you're really disagree strongly, we'd be happy to have the conversation.
Yep. So, Slappy, you have a free market success story?
We did not discuss this beforehand, and I wasn't even thinking of
it beforehand.
Not usually, but sometimes. Do you have one?
Yeah. So, do you remember a while ago, I had the free market success story where I was cooking on a Sunday morning and I realized I didn't have any garlic. And so there was this like little like Italian deli right down the street from me. And instead of like spending 45 minutes driving back and forth to the closest supermarket to get garlic and wasting a lot of time, I went down there to see if they had it and they didn't have garlic. I'm like, well, you're a deli and you make food here, so I know there's garlic here. And so they got a little tub of garlic and sold it to me. I spent like $5. I way overpaid for it, but it was worth it for the convenience. Well, that was a couple weeks ago. I had my brother and his family over for dinner, and they went down there to pick up something for dessert. And my brother had known this story about me asking them for the garlic and everything. And he snapped a picture. They had garlic on sale there.
That's funny.
So, you know, they
figured there's a demand for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should sell this stuff.
Yeah. Maybe it might've had nothing to do with me. It might've been them decide, but for whatever reason, they try to understand what the consumers want and satisfy that. So I thought that was pretty neat. It was a little follow up to a previous one, but, interesting seeing the market at work. Although I'm not sure, the government might have walked in and said, hey, you need to...
You must.
Yeah, thou shalt sell garlic here because, you know, Rollo might saunter on down on a mid-Sunday morning in a panic.
What would have been a better solution would be is if you went to the next town hall meeting or whatever, you know, their like little monthly johns they get together and talk about whatever councils, town council, whatever you have, and demand it that the stores have garlic.
I mean, really, it's an abomination that I would even have to do that because the federal government should just always supply me with garlic. I mean,
fair.
If they're not fair doing point. That, then what are they even doing?
Good question.
So... take that market or whatever. If the government just gave it to me for, I mean, and there goes now you don't have to farm anymore.
Right.
Cause everyone's little backyard gardens are all, everyone's growing garlic, right?
I think so.
Actually, my parents do.
Yeah, they would.
Maybe one day I'll grow garlic.
You should have your own division of labor within your family.
Should. I do. I mean, I'm much better. I'm good at growing okra and zucchini at my house, and so there's benefits to that for the rest of my family. They get that. And my dad.
What a benefit.
Yeah, my dad grows asparagus, and he grows a lot, and so we divide the labor that way.
That's great.
Absolutely. So maybe you should. Grow some, wax beans. Grow some wax beans, Slappy, so you can participate in your own family's division of farming labor.
I'm in.
All right. Well, show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/187. Check out libertymugs.com there. And also check out the Telegram group that we have. And, be a reliable automobile. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.